Our gospel this morning is recorded in the 11th chapter of the gospel according to Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. In 2008, when I was elected bishop, as the assembly came to a close, the convention hall was clearing out, Stan Olson walked up to me and handed me an envelope. Stan was from our churchwide organization. He was there to help conduct the election that had taken place. As he gave me the envelope, he said, "Mark, inside this envelope is the name of your mentor. He's expecting a call tonight." That was the beginning of an incredible relationship with someone that I have come to respect deeply. Now, this mentor was chosen not because of who I am, not because of my background, not because of where I've come from. The mentor was chosen months and months ago, long before that election ever took place. So I just find it to be an incredible gift, how much I have come to appreciate this person. The name inside the envelope was John Anderson. John was bishop serving in southwest Minnesota at that time. And in reality, we had a lot of commonalities. We both grew up on dairy farms. We both wrestled and played football. He did it really well, me, not very much. But we had these commonalities. But the more I got to know John, the more that I wanted to be like him. I watched him in meetings when things were very tense, almost get up and on top of the room and be able to see what was going on in the midst of different people and then speak with wise words, inviting us into a way forward. He had he was smarter than a whip. He had the ability to stand in the midst of deep tension and invite people into conversation. The more I watched him, the more I got to know him, the more I wanted to be like him. I think that's exactly what's going on in the gospel today. The disciples have been watching Jesus. They have some sort of sense about him, about his very being, about how he conducts himself, about how he engages with people around him, and I believe they want it. Jesus goes off to pray today, and they're watching. "Lord, teach us to pray," they ask him. It's not the first time that they have witnessed Jesus praying. You can trace Jesus praying through the Gospel of John really easily, just by flipping through the pages. Jesus prays as he was being baptized, as the Holy Spirit is coming down. My guess is at least some of the disciples were probably there that day. Jesus prays the day that Peter, for the first time, announces that you are the Messiah. He had been praying right before that, and my hunch is the disciples had been seeing it. Jesus grabs Peter, James, and John, takes them away on a mountain, and there he is transfigured before them. Remember Moses and Elijah standing there beside him? And before all of that happens, he is praying. And again today, Jesus is praying. We don't know how many other times the disciples saw Jesus in prayer, but they saw who he was, how he acted, and how he interacted, and I believe they wanted what Jesus had. Lord, teach us to pray, they ask. And what's amazing to me is he does not go into a bunch of rules. He doesn't say, hold your hands this way, or this way, or this way. He doesn't say, sit, or kneel, or stand. He doesn't say, go off into a room by yourself, or gather a group of people, or he doesn't do any of that. Instead, if you look at those lines that are given, that which we have come to know as the Lord's Prayer, each of those lines or petitions is really a petition about ordinary things. We might overlook that because the Lord's Prayer is such an integral part to so many of our prayer lives, but the truth is each petition is just about ordinary things. To start out by naming the holiness of God. Father, hallowed be your name. Holy be your name. To begin by naming that God is very other than us, that God is different, that God has this sense of the vastness of creation, the one who spoke it all into being. If you listen to the sermon from last week, I talked about us being just a speck in the midst of this vastness of all that God has created, and yet God created us too. An invitation to begin our prayer by putting ourselves in our place as a creature calling out to the one who has created all. Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Think about what is being asked in the midst of that part of the prayer. A call that God's kingdom would come not only in the fullness of the world, but into our midst as well. That's how Luther talked about it. God's kingdom is going to come, whether we want it to or not, but might it come among us as well? And the kingdom that's being talked about is not what comes as we die. It is that, but it's much more than that. Jesus talks about the kingdom coming among us. Jesus talked about how it's revealed. The kingdom are those times when we get to see just a glimpse of God in action right in our very midst. When we are living or acting, or being, or speaking as God would want us to be. When the vulnerable, the weak, the sick, the outcast are being cared for, the kingdom comes. Give us this day our daily bread. Another petition, a solid word That's not about vast things out there. It is about the very sustenance of life, especially in that day. Bread was the center of the meal. Later on, in the midst of thinking about persistence, right? What does the one who comes knocking in the middle of the night ask for? Is bread, the sustenance of life. We're so used to having the smorgasbord of options to choose from to eat. We're going to go for meat and potatoes today. Are we going to go out for Chinese food? Do we want to run away to the new restaurant in town that has Indian food? Do we want to fill in the blank? In Jesus' time, food was simple. It was a razor-thin line between life and death, feast or famine. Bread was the center of the meal. Give us this day our daily bread. In some ways, I think that Jesus is providing a metaphor for all that we need. Lord, give us what we need today to make it through. Give us what we need in this moment. In Luther's explanations in the Small Catechism, he expands this greatly so that we can see all of the ways that God fulfills this for us. Some ways, I think that turns us back to thanksgiving. I'm not going to go through the other two petitions. I think that you understand where I'm going, that these are common, ordinary things that Jesus is inviting us into praying about. Not just the disciples in the moment that asked to be taught how to pray, but for all of us as well. This is what we're invited into. The second half of the text that's before us today, I think, is all about perseverance. To continue to come to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to ask again and again and again for that which we need. Sometimes that's a hard word. Perseverance can be hard. The world can be hard. It is difficult to watch friends and family or yourself suffer. It is difficult to watch war reign in this world. It is difficult to hear the stories of violence and what happens among some of our kids. And yet, we're called to continue to pray again and again and again, trusting that God somehow is at work in the midst of all that is happening around us, somehow is at work and will deliver that one for whom we are praying for. And yet it's hard. But the invitation today is that we would take on the posture that Jesus took on. A posture of continuous prayer that shapes us and molds us and allows us to cry out to God from the depths of our very being for those who we worry about. Let us pray boldly. Amen.